I want to briefly close what we have been, what we have said so far, or let me say, everything we have said about spiritual economics. You know, I said that we'll finish it. Well, we're stopping now, all right? After now, nothing more about spiritual economics, and we'll go into the next series of teachings that have titled The Anatomy of Prayer, like I just mentioned to you. Now, what I want to end with while speaking about spiritual economics is to explain something to us again. And then let's just go back to that, our very famous portion of the scriptures, and read it. That's from, who can guess? No. That's the one that we use all the time. Who can guess? No. Who else? Anybody that gets it, I'll buy you a New Living Translation. One like this. All right, I'll just give you. No. We use it all the time. It cuts across everything we've been saying. If I want to start quoting, some people start laughing. No. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. So I keep my Bible to myself. Oh, sorry. Alright, it said, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. What I want to explain from there again is this. Once we are attacking life, we have to always bear in mind that what we are experiencing in life is not a product of the physical things that we see. Always judge life from a spiritual perspective. There was a day I was listening to my pastor then in Lagos, and he said something, and I just smiled. I said, this man is really deep. Then I think Bill Clinton was contesting against, who was the Republican candidate for the presidential election then? The first one. No. Bill Clinton. Okay. The second time. Was the second time? Anyway, I can't remember for sure. Don't let me mix up these facts, but I'll tell you what. Well, so he was analyzing the two presidential candidates. And then he noticed that both of them, their wives had almost identical backgrounds. There were two men contesting presidential elections, very wide age gap between them, but both of them, the wives had very, very similar life backgrounds. Both wives were from very rich homes. Both wives were lawyers. Both wives were, I think, Baptists, something like that. He analyzed it. You know, most people didn't notice that. But what I want to explain is this. He was trying to say that you can see that whoever becomes president, the woman who's behind him is already chosen. You understand? The kind of person that's going to be. Now, when he said that, then I smiled. But I realized that this is how you should view life. There is always a spiritual reason why God does things. Now, a lot of times we don't understand it. If you look at Nebuchadnezzar or Cyrus, all those great men that lived then, God was judging the children of Israel, and that was why he raised up Nebuchadnezzar. That's why he will say that an axe cannot boast above the person that wields it. That I am the one that strengthened you. That when somebody is, when I'm angry with my beloved, when I'm angry with my nation, I strengthen their enemy against them, and I weaken their defenses against their enemy. And he said, how can one chase 1,000? Were it not that their God sold them? He was telling them what will happen if they disobey the commandments of God. And he said that what will happen is that you will see that one of your enemies will come and chase 1,000 of you. He said, because you will see that your God has sold you into captivity. So when you see a nation sometimes that is getting strong and getting stronger and getting stronger, you will see that God has a reason for empowering them. You know, America is a very great nation today. I keep on saying that. They are really, really mighty. They have so much might that I dare to say they can take on the rest of the world in war, and it will be difficult to defeat them. That's how strong they are in arms. That's how strong they are. A few days ago, I was watching a program on TV that's on the church channel, and it was an American church program, and one man came up from Australia, and he was speaking in the church, and he told them something which, as soon as he said it, I said, this man knows what he's saying. He said America is very great, and that's because God has prepared them for a lot of responsibilities in the world to take. So sometimes it's easy to sit down and criticize and say, what is George Bush looking for in Iraq? I don't look at that. If you go and look at it properly, it's possible that God has sent a prophet to Saddam Hussein who told him that 365 days I'm kicking you out of this throne. You will never hear that. Listen to me, you will never hear it. All you will see on news is that America attacked Iraq and the way God does things. Anyway, let's go into too much details about those things. But I want you to bear this in mind, that what the Bible is saying is that we have to understand that the worlds were framed. And I said the worlds there does not refer to the physical earth, but the world systems that exist on the earth. He said the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that we see cannot be explained based on physical things that appeared before them. You know, I remember then when Abacha was the head of state of Nigeria. It was very interesting because a lot of people didn't understand what was going on. But one thing I know for sure, I won't go into details on this because we are putting this on tape, and sometimes I'm careful about what I say, you know, and we record. Now, a lot of things happening then was just that God had made up his mind to do certain things. And as soon as he finished doing what he had to do through that man, he killed him and brought in another era. Do you understand the point I'm making? As a child of God, we always have to bear this in mind. I remember we looked at the story of Saul, that what happened is that Saul died in battle. But when the Bible was going to run the commentary on the life of Saul, he said that God killed him. Can you remember that? He said God killed him for the trespass which he trespassed against the Lord, and that he went and sought after a witch. Are you following the point I'm making? Now, maybe I think I would just like us to read that so that we can just have it straight. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. It says, so Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord, which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it. Verse 14 says, and did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he, that is the Lord, killed him, and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. Now, if you read earlier on, maybe from verse 1, you will find out that in verse 3, the Bible says that the battle became heavy against Saul, and the archers overtook him, and he was wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest this uncircumcised come and abuse me. But you know the rest of the story, that when his armor bearer saw, what happened, that the armor bearer would not do that, so Saul took his own sword and fell on it. That's verse 4. Now, I have read this to just point to us again that physically we can explain that the reason why Saul died was because there was a tactical error in battle. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? And then, because of this tactical error, one can go and write stories about how kings die in battle, what mistakes to make and what mistakes not to make in battle. Whereas, the reality is in verse 13. That Saul did not die because of tactical errors, but why did he die? Because of this sin, the trespass that he committed against the Lord. And it was the Lord himself that killed him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, putting that in mind was why we took all the time, 13 different sessions we took speaking about spiritual economics. That's why I just gave us all this. So that we always bear in mind that in life, when it comes to financial empowerment, when it comes to God blessing somebody, when it comes to you succeeding in life, in business, in family, in whatever it is, it will not be because of the strategies that you use. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, it will be because God was pleased with you. Let me invert the story of Saul and read in another way. So you will live because of the righteousness that you will perform before the Lord your God, and because of the word of God that you will keep, and because you will not seek counsel of the ungodly, but you will make inquiry of the Lord alone. Do you understand what I'm going to say? And for that reason, God will give you life and cause you to prosper in all that you are doing. Do you understand the point I'm making here? So that you find that when a man is succeeding, he is not succeeding because of the explanations you have. That is why he said the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen are not explainable by the things that we can see. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So if a man is doing well, it is okay to go and study the reason why he's doing well. But the real thing is that we understand when we spoke about treasure in heaven, that this man has treasure in heaven. God has given him what is called a blessing. That's why I wrote in that book that I titled The Blessing. A blessing is an empowerment to succeed. A man that is blessed will do things correctly and will get good results. But he's not getting good results because he did things correctly. But because he was blessed, that was why he did things correctly. And many people who will try to copy his methods will fail flat. You can imagine, I think I told you the story then about a film I watched long ago. And one man overheard God speaking to Moses. You know, it was a joke, you know, it was a joke. He overheard God speaking to Moses that he should go and deliver the children of Israel. So he took carry his staff and went to before Pharaoh. And threw down his staff, because that's how God told Moses to do it. Of course, nothing came out of his staff. He used the correct method, but he did not have the empowerment that God had given to Moses. I hope that is clear. Alright, so, again, don't let me preach all the messages. We have a very short time for this. But I just want to make a point before we leave that point entirely. And that is that, having laid this spiritual foundation, it is now easy to tackle life physically. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if you are going to do business now, you understand that you do not have anything called a disadvantage. And you see, when we start talking about this issue of prayer, you will see that there are a number of ways by which, let me put it like this. There are many forces on the earth, but those forces are controlled by the superior force, which is the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that people write books, I hope you know, out of experiences. When you go to business school, you are doing an MBA, what you are reading are the experiences of other people that has been condensed into books. I hope you understand my point. But nothing says that experiences have ended. New things will be done and they will write new books. Warren Buffett, he has changed the way accounting is done in the world. Now the man is an investor, a businessman, a blessed man. What just happens is that he looks at accounting and says, this is the wrong way to do accounting. And everybody has come to understand now that, of course, when he said it, initially they didn't take him serious. And then big companies began to collapse. They began to collapse one after the other. Then they remember that Chairman Buffett said, that's what they call him, that Chairman Buffett said, this is the wrong way to do accounting. This is the correct way. Now it becomes the new way, the new wave in accounting practice. Do you understand the point I'm making? So I'm explaining again so that we'll bear it in mind that having laid the foundation, it is not appropriate at this point to now tackle life on a physical level. Like I explained then, that the Bible said, if you will sow your seed in difficult times, that God will pour water upon the seed that you have sown. You understand me? And I explained that it is good to give offering in church and give to the work of God. That is very, very good. But that is not our emphasis at this time. What we are saying is that if a country like Nigeria will prosper, let me withdraw the word some. The children of God have to learn to start doing business in that country. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, people will say that government policies are bad. That is what makes you a Christian. That's what makes you somebody who is blessed of God. God will begin to give you insight. You know, we're not going to talk about this in full details. But God will begin to give you insight into knowing the kind of policy that government will make. And when they will make policies that are not accurate, you can change them by prayer. We'll discuss that from when we start talking about the anatomy of prayer. You'll see what I'm saying. Please, just make sure you're around and you hear all the messages. Now, as a child of God, let me give you an example. I was telling you the other one of those days that, see, I have learned a lot during these teachings. And because of what I have learned, let me tell you what. I have a passion for publishing and printing. I've explained that to you before. I gave you an example that when I bought this Bible, first thing I did was to flip over to where it was printed. And I got it. I holding it, I knew this book must have been printed in Belarus. And I opened it and I was correct. Now, anytime you give me a book, that's the first thing I look at. Today I had two copies of the Prayer of Jabez. I was looking at them. I said, oh, one of them was printed in Nigeria. That's what came to my mind. And I was looking. You know, I just analyzed printing anytime I see a printed material. And for that reason, I told myself, if you are so passionate about this, now get my point. I'm already into publishing, Christian publishing, but that is non-profit. You know, that's not made for profit primarily. But I'm going into publishing that will make profit. I won't discuss that in details now. We are teaching the word of God. Then the other day, I said most of the time, people want to buy shares. So in Nigeria today, the hottest shares, apart from the blue chips, you know what they call blue chips, all right? Apart from the blue chip companies, the hottest shares in Nigeria are bank shares. If you watch network news, they will always tell you that the most traded share for today was in the banking sector. It's always like that. Now, so the tendency for everybody to want to do is what? Start buying shares in banks. And look, it's good. I'm not saying it is wrong. In fact, when the new CBN governor said that 25 billion naira must be the capitalization for the banks, I said, good. What they need to do now is to get Nigerians to put money into those banks, and they will stand. Do you follow my point? That is the principle of economic recovery. That's the fact. The people there have to start sowing in tears. But anyway, having said all this, I just thought about it, that why banks? Academy Press is a public company, is a public liability company. Why not? I just made up my mind that, well, I'm not saying this for sure, right? I might do it, okay? All right? But just to teach. I said, why not every month I start buying shares in Academy Press so that one day, I will become a big, what do you call it now? A major shareholder in the Academy Press. So that we can, I mean, that's my passion, printing, publishing. Okay, I could start my own printing press, but it's a lot of money. I don't have the cash. But this, I told you about seed. This is a seed. I can sow it in them every day. And while I was still meditating upon it, one man just came. He didn't even know I was thinking about that. And he was sharing with one, he said one guy came to their church, and this man has a regular job somewhere, but the guy has made up his mind. He's going to be a major shareholder in one bank in Nigeria, one of the big four banks. And that the guy was sharing with them the principle by which he was going about it. And that is that every month he commits a part of his salary to buy the shares of that bank. Look, he's not looking for money. He just wants to be a mover and shaker in that institution. So every month he works in a very good company and they pay him a lot of money. He doesn't buy shares in many places. That particular place, he puts his money there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, having laid a good foundation in the spiritual realm, these are practical things that people have to do. Now, I won't bother to explain the spiritual side anymore because we have already talked about that for a very long time, 3 full months, okay? So, if you're interested, just go and listen to all the tapes. But on the practical aspect, if God has given you a gift, that's another thing, start investing in that gift. I explained to us in the past that you have a seed that God has given you. There are two kinds of seed I talked about in that area. One, there is a seed of the gift that you have. For time's sake, I won't read it, but if you go to the book of Exodus, I think chapter 30 or 31, God explained when they were going to build the tabernacle in the wilderness, God called one man by name. Chapter 31, verse 2, from verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for work in gold, in silver, and in bronze. What I want to bring, I won't read everything, but you can read it and find out that God has really placed this man in a particular place. But let me just add something to it. If I can find that quickly, I don't want to waste too much time. But if you later on you can look for it. God also gave him the ability to teach. Those were the two things that God gave him. It was not only to make those things, but to teach other people. Now that will bring me to those two things. But the first one I want to stay on is the fact that this man had a gift and God called him by name concerning that gift. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, number one, what you should bear in mind is that God has also called you by name with a particular gift. And listen, you must give attention to that thing so that you will be blessed in other areas of life. Get my point. You will never be satisfied in life except you give attention to the gift that God has given you. And listen, one young man came to see me the other day in church, and he's into publishing, enlightenment and stuff like that, magazines. He was trying to start a magazine. And after he wanted me to make a statement on a particular issue, so he had a tape recorder and everything, asked for my photographs and all that, so he can do the coming edition of the mag. So after he finished, I said, okay, now I've answered your question. Put off your tape recorder. So he put it off. And I said, let me now talk to you as a brother, give you counsel. I started telling him just what I'm telling you now. This thing may appear small, but give it time, give it attention. If you get a job that will take it away from you, please drop that job. Don't take it. This is a great vision you have. Maybe because I have a passion for something like that. And so I was explaining to him. Then he said, let me give you a testimony, sir. I said, let me hear it. Now, most of us think testimony is that, you know, last week, God just gave us 50,000 naira. Amen. Look, listen. I'm tired of such. Look, if I go to church and I give that kind of testimony, I'll plug my ears. It's not because they are wrong, but I'm kind of tired of it. And this young man's testimony stirred me up. I was excited. What did he say? He said, just to agree what you have said, he said a few weeks ago, not sure which one he said now, He mentioned one magazine that, do I know it? I really didn't know. He said, but the publisher of that magazine came to him after he heard what they were setting up and everything. And the man talked with him. They had rented a piece of, I think, empty land to build some things for their magazine. And they had been spending money. Young man, I think, I don't know whether he's a student or he has just graduated from school. But he's a young man. He said the man came and offered to buy up everything he had put down, give him money for the value of every, no, that the man offered him a very good amount of money to buy that thing from him. Remember I told you, listen, the devil will always offer you money for your precious seed. Look, when he knows that something great is going to come, what he buys it from you with is money. There are a lot of people who are working in places that they have, what, look, they think they are taking a great job. But what they don't understand is that the job has killed their productivity. The thing that God has placed inside them that they must do on this earth, the job has ended it. They will never do it. Do you get my point? But he's happy while he's yet young that he's earning a lot of money. Listen, I told us last time, the Bible said it is good for a young man to bear his burdens in the days of his youth. There is nothing wrong with being poor when you are young. There is nothing wrong. You don't have to compete with anybody. My friend has bought an S-class. So what? How old are both of you? He's 28, you're 27. That is the time of poverty. Be happy. Don't ever envy anybody that has money as long as it's this season. Why? Because better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Do you understand the point I'm making? It's what you are going to be when you are 50 that I'm talking about. It's what you are going to be when you are passing away from this earth at a ripe old age of 102. That's what I'm talking about. That what would your great-grandchildren be saying? Would they be saying that my father used to drive an S-Class when he was 28, when he was 30, that he built his first house when he was 15? That's not what matters. You know, I quoted for us last time that the Rockefeller's children, I don't know when the wealth in their generation will end. They are like number 4, number 5 now. As soon as you are born, you are a millionaire. They will never forget that this man was our great-grandfather. Do you get the point I make it? So this young man was giving me the testimony. And I was happy that this is what he calls a testimony. What is the testimony? That this was what this man offered. But for the reason of the vision that I have concerning this thing, I couldn't be bought. Doesn't have anything, though. The guy's as poor as a young man should be. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, no, really. He doesn't have anything. Somebody was going to give him money to buy his vision. I told you that John Johnson of Ebony, the publisher of Ebony, on their 50th anniversary, he thanked 3 people who made it possible for him to be the sole owner of that company that's worth billions of dollars today. Why? Because he asked them, 3 of them, to lend him money to start this business, and they said it would not work. So he had to borrow money using his mother's furniture as collateral. $500 he borrowed. Now, the old man is the sole owner of that great empire. Sole owner. He doesn't share it with anybody. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Listen, it's time to start planting your seed. When you start earning money, start making... Now, I'm not talking about investment because you never know what tomorrow will be. Really, you never know what tomorrow will be. Like I always say, I don't care about tomorrow. I care about God who knows tomorrow. You understand my point? However, God has given me an assignment on this earth to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue the earth, to use the gifts he has placed in me to affect my generation. And that is where my mind is on. Do you understand my point? Listen, identify that thing that you can do and do it. That you can do well and do it well. Start educating yourself. This is my gifting. Start educating yourself in that area. Know that you have to be a mover and shaker of this world. My time is running out, so let me just quickly quote this man. And again, he spoke the truth. I don't know whether he spoke it out of inspiration, but what he said is so beautiful. He said, my mother said, if you become, now I may not get this correctly, the first one, but if you become a soldier, you end up a general. If you become a priest, you end up as a pope. He said, I became a painter and I ended up as Picasso. Have you heard that before? Yes. He said, I became a painter and I became Picasso. His name is Picasso. But when you say Picasso, now he's an entity. You understand? It's a phenomenon. He said, well, I didn't become a priest or engineer or anything. I became a painter and I ended up as what? Picasso. That is a world-renowned figure. I'm an authority. He introduced what they call collage into the realm of painting. There was nothing like that before he came. I mean, that's what I mean by greatness. Listen, start planting your seed. Don't sell it to anybody. As you are going out in life, don't try to get a good job. Listen, I'm not saying the good job is bad, but try to get a job that allows you vision. Start working so you can improve yourself. If you have, look, if they're opening a job in a bank and you want to be a publisher and a publishing company offers you a quarter of that pay, it makes sense to go and take the job in the publishing house. You will learn what will make you a great man tomorrow. One day, you will employ bankers. Do you understand the point I'm making? Young Gicho will say he doesn't have all the degrees, but when he sits at the head of his boardroom and all the people that are working around him, he looks at them. Specialists are here, the best engineers are here, the best people in town, all kinds of things. All of them are calling him sir. He doesn't know a quarter of what they know in those areas of life, but he has become great. And that is what I'm advising all of us, and I'm adjourning us before God. Please make up your mind. That is a vow of prosperity that I talk about. That I have made up my mind, I will not be average. I have made up my mind that I'm not running after money, but I'm running after what? Greatness. And God will not disappoint me. Indeed, I will become great on this earth. You understand that? All right, that concludes everything we have said about spiritual economics. Remember, this is the time you can now start tackling life on the physical level. You can start reading books about investment now. It will make sense because you realize you'll be doing it for a different reason. Not from the reason other people are doing it, but because God is about to turn your life into something great. You understand that? All right. Amen.